Hey guys, finding the perfect gift for the food lover in your life is easy. Thanks to Goldbelly. Goldbelly ships America's most iconic foods straight from world-famous restaurants right to your door. So if you want to treat someone to Joe's Stone Crab from Miami, Franklin Barbecue from Texas, or desserts from famous foodies like Ina Garten or Martha Stewart, Goldbelly has you covered with free shipping anywhere in the country. Just go to goldbelly.com and for a limited time, get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT. That's promo code GIFT.
Why does every non-black creator have a racist past?
Cheers! All right, I'm drinking Amir's Tim Hortons order. Bismillah.
It's not that. Yeah, it is kind of. You know what? It's almond milk, okay? At least you won't get the bubble guts.
You're right.
Yeah. Welcome back, guys, to another episode of the Cousin
Connection Podcast. If you're wondering what Amir's coffee order is, tell them.
Sweeteners and almond milk. That's the same thing. I'm trying to cut down the calories. I know people say, oh, sweeteners can give you cancer.
Really?
It's like, whatever. Well, it's like the studies aren't really like that reliable. It's like the dosages are not something that you would normally take. You'd literally have to have like 500 cans of whatever you're drinking for the sweetener in there to give you some type of side effect. So,
okay,
we're good. Okay. Yeah.
If you say so.
I'm just saying.
So we just came back from filming with the coffee time.
See, you did it too.
Is this your fault?
So before I cut this in, I said coffee time accidentally.
Coffee break podcast. Mm-hmm. This is so bad. It was honestly such a good session. I feel like it went by so quickly.
Oh yeah.
Is that how people feel when they come on our podcast?
Hopefully.
Like it went by really quick.
Yeah. If they didn't, I'd be a little concerned. Yeah. Like, yeah, that felt like a drag, man. We were working so hard. They were giving nothing.
No, they weren't shy with the questions, and it was like a really good dialogue conversation. Mm-hmm. Their setup was really cool. I really liked their studio. Yeah, we were like,
definitely gave me some ideas. I was writing down stuff.
Amir was like, mental notes.
I was interviewing the guy who runs the studio.
You were, I noticed.
It's like, which cameras do you use again?
I noticed you were. Yeah, but we had such a good time. I'm not 100% sure what day it's getting released, but you know, when we release our episode, I'm sure theirs is already going to be up. So I will link it so you can watch us on. When we're outside of our own element, we were on another podcast.
Is that the first time we've done another podcast?
We technically filmed with Huddle Talk, but
episode never saw. Okay, that's why I'm like, I don't remember us putting out anything else.
Yeah.
Shout out to Huddle Talk. One day.
One day it'll happen. Day.
They did actually just have them on like two episodes ago too.
They did. Mm-hmm. So Khaled, hello.
Someone's been missing.
I know, right? He's like, guys, I've been busy. What's that? Traveling the world. That TikTok trend?
What?
Ladies.
What? I do not get that
Leave
side.
Leave me alone time shit.
I'm not on that side of TikTok.
You've never seen that TikTok?
I'm on the STEM side of TikTok. Okay. I get
Amir,
tutorials.
No, I have to show. You don't know the ladies?
No.
Shit. When they're like, shake your dreads. And he's like, ladies. You haven't seen
that? I don't get that. That sounds like
I'm trying to do my work.
It sounds like Duke Dennis or something.
Ladies, I'm trying to do my work today. Leave me alone type shift.
Shake your dress.
Ladies, come on.
I have never gotten that sound once.
Really? That's all over my TikTok.
I'm telling you guys, it's a different world. Literally different world.
Sometimes their algorithms align though. Because we end up seeing the same thing.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. Because it's weird how we do see the same things. Like, there is a side of TikTok that everyone seems to get.
Yeah.
And then there's another side of TikTok where you just, like you said, you get those ones. I have no idea what's going on.
But this is like, it's been a trend for a couple of weeks now. I'm surprised you haven't seen it. But as we usually do, let's do a little week recap so everyone knows what we were up to last week.
Yeah. So when did we record last week? Friday? Saturday? But on the weekend, on Sunday last week.
Yeah.
So we went to an event called Once Upon a Time in Mecca, which was like hosted by Bona Muhammad, who's like a local guy. Mm-hmm. I kept telling people this, like, I've seen this guy since grade 9 high school. That's how long he's been out there. Like, he came to our school. At that point, he was doing like more general spoken word. I believe it had some Muslim influence because he was wearing, from what I remember, he was wearing gummies were thob at the time. Mm-hmm. And he gave a spoken word performance at the school. So that was my introduction to him. And I've known him since then and kind of been following up on what he's doing.
Yeah.
But yeah, he had this event. It was actually run by the Al Maghrib Institute. Mm-hmm. And it was him. He had Sheikh Muhammad Al-Shukri.
Ammar Al-Shukri.
Sorry.
That's okay. Close Muhammad
enough. Oh my God, I'm saying it again. Ammar Al-Shukri. He was also one of the spoken word artists and AKA like one
like
of the
lecturers. Storytellers,
yeah. Mm-hmm. That was explaining what was going on. And then they had a couple artists or singers who would come up and sing the Sheed. And all of the things that they would come up and say were related to the story they were telling about the Seerah of the Prophet, like starting from when essentially...
When he was born.
He was born, but like they kind of start... They gave more details when it came to when he received revelation. Mm-hmm. Right? And then like followed along and then... It would kind of split up. It would be like they would start off with a nasheed, or they'll start off with a Quran verse that was related or to what was
that
happening
was
at the time.
To him at the time.
Exactly. Yeah, which was interesting seeing like, the first surahs that were revealed to him, and then they would have a nasheed, and then they would have Ammar al-Shukri come out and he would explain it like in a lecture kind of style, but also kind of in spoken word. Mm-hmm. And then Bona Muhammad would do the same thing. And yeah, it was just a nice little event that they put together. Well, not literal. It was a lot of people there.
Yeah, it was huge.
Yeah, it was at least... We were trying to calculate how many people were there in total.
Yeah.
It was like minimum 1,000, I would say.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
It was a lot of people inside there. And yeah, it was interesting. Like, it was an event in that, like, they didn't take themselves too seriously. Because even with the... I don't know if this is giving away too much. With between performances, they would have videos playing. Mm. And it was like... AI videos but like if they're using it in the best way where like they would have a little thing where it would almost be like a news report that would be going on to be like Mecca news, and they would almost reveal the story through a newscast or news story. And it was just interesting how they brought that up and how they showed it, and to the point where like it looked so good that we couldn't even tell. At least when I was talking to Hannah, like, we couldn't tell half the time if, like, are those real people? Like, it took us a little bit to realize it was AI at first.
Yeah.
So AI's gone a long
way. I thought those were real actors. And I'm like, where'd they find all these people?
Exactly, right? Cut them. Yeah, it looked really real. And that shows you, like, even if you do have access to AI or you're using AI, like, it still requires a lot of artistry. And, like, it takes a lot of work to be able to get it that clean. And, like, there's no real, like, jank that you could see. Mm-hmm. You know, usually AI will be like, you'll see a guy with like 6 or 7 fingers, or you'll see like a pieces of clothing that would like flow into nothing. Mm-hmm. But there was nothing like that in these videos. Everything was very clean. I feel like maybe they might have done the AI and then like gone over it again.
Yeah.
But yeah, overall the stories that were told were amazing. The event was amazing. They had a little bazaar outside of it as well. It was super well organized. Mm-hmm. Like getting in was super easy. People were flowing in and out through the entrance pretty quickly. And seating was a little tricky. Like at first there was like a VIP section. So maybe the only, I guess, con I would say is like seating. If you want to get a good seat, get there early. Mm-hmm. Because you're going to be sitting all in. Even though, even from the back, like we were kind of near the back.
Yeah.
But we still had a good view of everything that was going on. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, overall, the event was really nice. What did you think?
Honestly, I didn't really know what to expect. Like, I don't know I feel like all of us kind of went into this thinking it was going to be like a VR experience type of
thing. What?
I thought that. Nabat thought that. Hussein, Steve. Like, we all.
I thought it was going to be like a movie theater, but.
No, I didn't know it was like a full-on movie. I thought it was more of like an interactive type of thing. And so when it started, I was like, what is going on? And then when they broke out in the first nasheed, I genuinely was like so confused. Because I knew that there were going to be artists there, like that were going to be singing. But I didn't think it was going to be like incorporated into the storytelling. Mm. And so at first I was, as Shelly from Love Island says, genuinely confused.
Yeah.
But once I kind of got the gist of it, I'm like, oh, you know what? I kind of like this. It's like switching from... Is it medium? Mm-hmm. Switching from the different mediums. And it just kept us engaged the whole time. Mm-hmm. And I think what really got to me and what really just like wowed me was the part where they spoke about the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Like Sheikh Ammar al-Shukri really just did his big one.
Yeah.
Because you could hear a pin drop in that room.
Oh, I could hear someone just going.
Like it was silent. Silent. Like he captivated everyone. Mashallah, his storytelling genuinely had me at the edge of my seat. And we've all heard the seerah, like,
yeah,
but every time we hear it, it still captures our attention the same way. And that's just the power of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So it was just like, it was something different that our group of friends did. Like, we don't normally do these things, but I'm like, guys, this is something for us to do. And so I think we all collectively enjoyed it. I got a hijab while I was out there. I forgot what the brand was, but they were there. And I was like, oh, cool.
It was a good event. And honestly, we got really lucky too, because we got there early and we didn't know that across the street, there was actually like a whole festival going on.
Yeah.
And it was funny because we were walking around and Hannah and I were hungry. And I knew everybody else was hungry too, right? We were like, let's look for some food around the spot. And we were talking about like, oh, let's go here. And by the time we got down there, we still hadn't picked a spot.
Yeah.
So I was walking around. I was like, oh, you know, they have hot dogs there. I can't get that. I'm talking to Hannah. I'm going to say this. Oh, I have jerk chicken. I would love that, man.
Yeah.
And as I'm walking around, I'm like, I saw a cookie slot and I walk up to them. They're like, yeah, you know, and it's a vegan and like all not plant-based, but basically they're saying it's vegan cookies. I was like, oh, okay, that's interesting. And then the next spot I see said vegan on it as well. Mm-hmm. And my mind like started putting things together. And I don't know how, I was already halfway through this place. I just realized everything here is vegan. So that opened my eyes. I was like, oh my God, we can have everything we want here. Anything we want here.
Yeah.
So we were like, at that point, at first we felt we had no choice. Mm-hmm. And then after we found out it was all vegan, we're like, we have too many choices now.
Yeah.
So we ended up just choosing a Jamaican spot that had these like vegan jerk sandwiches. Mm-hmm. So I got one of those. And I believe Hanan got the same one, or actually she got another one, but I forget what that one was called. But it actually tasted really good.
Yeah.
I don't know what bread they used. It was like some cornbread type situation. Mm-hmm. But the combination was really good. The seasoning on that jerk chicken or jerk whatever it was. Because it didn't say jerk chicken, but it tasted really good.
Yeah.
Of course, I was, you know, missing my protein.
I
was hoping for that. Yeah. But it turned out to like a nice hangout before the event, because we got there really early, right?
I think we intended to like eat something before, so that's why we went early, which was a good call.
Exactly. So it worked out. We got to walk around. We found another couple spots that we could we got a couple things from, but
yeah
overall it was just a nice event.
It was like a nice Sunday fun day type
exactly of thing. Weather was perfect.
Well,
what, it was perfect that day
until we went to dinner. Remember how hard it was raining?
Was it raining during dinner? Oh yeah. Okay, I forgot about that.
It was raining pretty hard.
Yeah, because I remember with like after we drove back with Nabat, like it was raining so hard.
Yeah,
I drove up next to her car, and still from her just getting out of the car and running to her car, she got soaked.
Dang.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah,
but so it was like, good during the day, which is
yeah, it was like hot, and I don't think any of us expected it to be, but it was nice, and it was a nice like chill Sunday. What else did I do? Oh, what? Okay. So I've been seeing this cafe all over my TikTok. It's called Aura Cafe.
I've heard about this.
Yes, you might have. And so I happened to be in the area last weekend with my friend, and so she was like, oh, you know, Aura Cafe is like near here, we should stop by. We were at another friend's house, and so by the time we left it was like 11:50 p.m. yeah.
And you go to a cafe?
no, but hear me out. Okay. And the thing is like, we didn't think we were gonna stay that late at this friend's house, so when we were leaving, We looked it up on the GPS, and it was like a 7-minute drive. So we would have arrived at like 11:57. Mm-hmm. I was like, this is so shame. I'm not pulling up to a cafe 3 minutes before they close just to ask them for a matcha.
Okay.
So anyways, we did it. Mm-hmm. We drove there.
So you were that customer.
We drove there, and by the time we like walked, because we parked and then we walked, it was like 12:01. Mm-hmm. The lights were still on. There were still people inside. And so I'm like so embarrassed, like basically dragging my feet, and she's like, come on, the worst they're gonna say is no, we're closed. And I was like, yes, that's embarrassing. She's like, let's just try. So she opens the door and she's like, hi, sorry, I know you guys are technically closed now. And then the guy, the barista, is it barista or baristo? Barista. Anyways, he's like, no, come on in. I was like, oh my God, everyone inside the cafe is looking at us, so embarrassed. Mm-hmm. And he was so kind. He's like, come on in, get whatever you want. Like, don't be shy. Order whatever you want. Like, mm-hmm. don't worry.
Yeah, you know, he's going to take your money anyways.
True. I was a paying customer.
Yeah.
So I ordered a white chocolate matcha.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God.
Was it good?
It was so good.
Really?
It was so good.
Is this close to me?
Kind of.
Is it downtown?
No, it's like Avenue.
Avenue?
Yeah.
Okay.
We were close-ish to it on our way back.
Yeah.
And I contemplated, like, I'm like, Amir, let's go to Aura. We should have.
It's crazy that the spot was open till midnight.
Yeah, well, they're open till midnight in general, mm-hmm. but like we got there at 12:01.
Yeah.
And he made us a matcha so quick and then was like, you have to try it. And I was like, not in front of you. What if it's bad? Mm-hmm. He's like, yeah, well, I'm open to feedback. Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay, period. So he turns around, I drink it. It was so good. I was genuinely impressed.
Mm-hmm.
And so I told him that I have a podcast and that I would
shout him out.
So
shout out to Aura Cafe.
Yeah, if you're in that area,
mm-hmm.
you should definitely go visit. I heard that they have really good banana pudding, like Ooh. Comparable to what's that famous one in New York?
I'm not sure. But
Magnolia Bakery.
Oh yeah. That's actually my wife's favorite spot.
I heard it's very comparable.
Okay,
so mm-hmm. we might have to pay Aura another visit.
Okay, we're all gonna have to pay a visit. Okay,
yeah.
And so do they have cookies?
Yeah, they have a lot. They had a lot of. They had tiramisu. Wait.
First off. Was there the Muslim tax on there? I don't think it's a Muslim spot, is it?
No, it is. It's Somali owned.
Oh, it is? Okay. Shout out to our Somali. Was there a Muslim tax on those matchas?
How much was it? I can't even remember because I didn't pay. It was Manal covered it.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant so like kind. He like gave it to you guys for free or something.
Oh, mm-hmm. then I'd be like ride or die Aura. But like, yeah. it's fine.
Should've been like, yo, you know, I'm an influencer.
No, we're not doing that. That's crazy. No,
I wouldn't let you do that either.
That's so. Mm-hmm. That would be so pretentious of me. I'm like, listen, no.
My 8,000 subscribers. If you want them, you're gonna have to pay up.
That's so funny. No, but it was actually like, it's worth the drive, in my opinion.
Okay. Yeah. So we're going to have to check it out then.
100%. Mm-hmm. 100%. Okay.
I'm going to have to check those prices though first.
It's like comparable. It's not as bad as like Ridgeway because Ridgeway is different,
mm-hmm.
but it's not super cheap either.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So
we'll see about that.
What is next? Oh, okay. So I guess I can educate you on the Vela controversy.
Oh yeah. So... I got like a random TikTok talking about this, but I didn't watch the whole thing because I was like, oh, this isn't my side. I'm going to leave.
Well, okay. So Vela, if you don't know what that is, it's a hijab brand. It's a company. And the owner, Marwa, so she basically this like photo that she took years and years and years ago resurfaced online during COVID in 2020. And the photo is her and her friend sitting on these like white cubes that spell out the N-word. She's not black. She's Arab, I believe.
Why does every non-black creator have a racist past?
Because
what is this?
It stems from ignorance.
No, but like, it's almost like if you are a white creator or someone who is not a person of color, you are like 99% guaranteed to find some type of racist post they've made in the past. And the fact that there's a post about it. Like, sure, maybe you've said the N-word with your friends. But, like, why make a post about it?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
So that photo initially surfaced in 2020.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Vela was around. Or maybe she was just an influencer. Mm-hmm. But, like, she was known, obviously, online. So she apologized and...
In 2020.
Mm-hmm. And I think people were like, cancel her, whatever. It didn't end up working, obviously, because she has a successful hijab brand.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. In most recent times, the photo resurfaced again. And so if you didn't know her back in 2020 and you're seeing it now for the first time, you're like, what the heck?
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy. Now, there's layers to this controversy because Vela was already controversial because of their pricing. So, you know, depending on your price range, sometimes even a $20 hijab may be deemed as expensive. Vela prices, especially if you're not American, so Canadian and others, not only are you paying the prices, you're paying for duties and you're paying for tax too. But they can cost you like $30, $40, $50 per hijab, which is like...
But
Yeah.
Is there like an is there an upgrade in like the quality?
So here's the other part.
Yeah.
Vella specializes mostly in model hijabs. Mm-hmm. Model is like a thinner material. It's more breathable. And a lot of hijabis like it because in the summer it's hot.
Yeah.
So it's like you're not suffocating by wearing this hijab. The issue now is that some of them are like super see-through. Mm. So you're essentially paying these premium prices for like something that's not really covering you the way it's supposed to. And, you know, coupled like that, the pricing is one thing. People have made claims that she doesn't use like dark skin hijabis as models for her hijabs. Mm. There's just like a bunch of different criticisms that people have against the brand. And now her racist post resurfacing is just like
the nail in the coffin,
and it's really causing a lot of people to like question the brand because it's sort of like, you know, some people say like Vella is like this exclusive club that like only a certain handful of hijabis are part of, where it's like you don't buy the hijab because of the quality, you buy it for the persona that you,
it's like a status symbol or something,
kind of. Yeah, it's like, it's like a Vella girly, if you've ever heard that online, is like the stereotypical Vella girly is someone who is like fashion forward, drinks matcha. Like, it's like a very specific, like niche audience. And so on one hand, it's like the people that criticize the brand, they're like, you know, it's too exclusive. Like hijab is for everyone. It should be inclusive. And it should also be affordable, because why are we paying these outrageous prices to them? They're like, in that, in their standard, for something that is supposed to be made accessible for everyone. On the other hand, there are the Vella girlies that are like, well, if you don't like the hijab, just don't buy it, buy whatever you want. Or, you know, like, and it might come off as like tone deaf or not realizing that you're pushing this persona, I guess, that is some people deem as like un-Islamic. I don't know if I'd go that far, but that's kind of like,
but like, what is so unique about her brand that other companies are not offering?
It's the persona.
It's just a persona? That's
literally,
it?
Literally, yeah, because the quality of the hijabs are good. They're soft.
Yeah.
But there are other brands with just like comparable quality in terms of the softness, but with more, is it opacity? Opaqueness?
Yeah.
Like the model is still... like it's not see-through, so you can wear it and like your hair won't show. So I think her marketing team, 10 out of 10, because obviously they've done their job in terms of marketing it, and obviously her sales do well for a reason. But then there was like a deeper dive. I was watching this video about it, and this girl was like, you know, people think it's like uber successful because she's always selling out, but it's actually just like a, what was the term she used? She basically, it's the term.
Manufactured scarcity of the product.
Something like that. Yes, yeah. Yes. Where she was basically saying like they release a limited amount of stock.
On purpose
to basically push people to be like, I have to get it in this exclusive drop. Like it's an exclusive line, the summer 2025 drop or whatever.
Yeah.
And so like she was basically saying it's giving the illusion that I have to get this hijab before it sells out, because then it's like, oh, I'm rocking the leopard print Vella, like you didn't get it, like that type of thing. And it makes you feel like you're part of this exclusive club.
But these are things that all companies do, especially companies that want to be considered more high fashion. Are they just like annoyed at her, or are they criticizing her because she's Muslim and because it's technically a Muslim brand?
The criticisms come from Muslims themselves, though, like other hijabis.
No, but like, are they saying you shouldn't be essentially taking advantage of your customer base?
Yeah. And they're also saying like the amount of drops per year is too excessive, that it's promoting like gluttony and like greed, because you're just constantly like, no one needs this many hijabs type of thing.
So they're just annoyed at her for being a capitalist, essentially.
Basically.
Like, sure, you can criticize for someone for trying to be a capitalist, but like, I feel like everybody has those tendencies. I feel like if they were in the same situation, they would probably be doing the same thing.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like people are just trying to tear someone down because they see them doing well. At least, you know, it's almost like similar to like the Kevin Hart situation. Remember how for him, he got in trouble for something years ago. I literally mentioned it last week, where he got in trouble for something years ago. Mm-hmm. He said sorry about the information or that stuff coming out, and then it kind of moved on. And then years later, a new crowd of people found out about it, and he's like, I'm not going to say sorry again. Like, I already addressed this years ago. Mm-hmm. In her case, it sounds like she actually said sorry again.
She said sorry again because she basically was like, for those that haven't, like, that are seeing this mm-hmm. resurface for the first time, like, I'll apologize today, tomorrow, and every time that it resurfaces. Like, yeah. she's taking ownership of it, and I respect her for that. Mm-hmm. But I think going back to your original point, like, if you're not a person of color, why would you think it's okay to post something super racist online? And then if you have aspirations of being a business person or an influencer, why would you think for a second that it's not going to come up and haunt you years later? Because it will. Nine times out of ten, it will. If you posted something online, like, people need to understand what it means to have a digital footprint. Mm-hmm. Like, and I'm not saying it in the sense of, like, hide your racism, but, like, low-key hide it. Like, don't be doing these things in public. I don't think for her it was coming off from a racist standpoint. I think mm-hmm. it was coming off from an ignorant standpoint.
Yeah, but I think we're all familiar with, like, you know, even in Toronto, people who are not exactly black will freely say the N-word or something like that.
But they're more cautious if they see a black person around.
No, now even online and stuff, even with black people around, they'll just go ahead and say, because they feel like they grew up around it, or because it's part of their vernacular now, whatever, right? So people have become more loose with it. In her case, like, as long as she said sorry and she's not doing it again, it's like, if she said sorry and then continued to do it, sure, like, then you can make a case for it. But back when she first did it, I don't know if she even had business aspirations at that time. Like, it wasn't really a thought. A lot of people do that. They just do something before they go online and become, like, some type of personality. Mm. And what are they going to do at that point? They're going to come out when they start to gain, like, a following. They'll be like, okay, guys, before you start to follow me, there's this post that was from years ago that, you know, I was doing something racist. Like, you're not going to bring that up voluntarily.
If someone ever did that, that would be very interesting, like, an interesting approach. Mm-hmm. But you're right. No one brings that up voluntarily. Usually it's like somehow, some way it just resurfaces.
Exactly. And then you just address it when it does come out.
Yeah.
And say, you know, I've changed. I'm a different person. Maybe you can, the most you can do is, like, start donating towards the affected group. It doesn't matter what it is, or do something to kind of help that community that you feel like they feel like you've wronged.
I think what she could have done, mm-hmm. and maybe her marketing team is already thinking of this, but mm-hmm. like, and hopefully it doesn't come off as forced, but, you know, because the black community specifically feels impacted, what could be cool and mm-hmm. a cool pivot for her is, and I know not everyone's going to like this idea, but why don't you dig into different black, like, cultures, ethnic mm-hmm. ethnicities, where you could, what?
I was going to say, like, a lot of people might start to call you out for, because people always look for something to point out, right? No, but so like, oh, this is cultural appropriation.
No, hear me out. Go ahead. But yeah. So one of the hijabs that she has is, like, the keffiyeh. Mm-hmm. But imagine she had, like, different prints that were part of different black cultures. You don't think so?
No, unless she's collaborating with
another could be like a
black creator, and, like, the funds go to that black creator, it will not work, because they will start saying you're going to capitalize on someone else's culture.
I see what you mean.
You're literally giving advice to, like, do cultural appropriation.
I'm thinking about it from the Okay, she could collaborate with different communities and maybe say, like, the proceeds from this, or, like, part of the proceeds will go to this community, mm-hmm. or, you know, like, something like that. Like, I think that's a nice way to pivot, mm-hmm. and maybe shift the focus from, like, her race, like, ignorant past, mm-hmm. to, like, forward thinking. Like, yes, you've apologized, you've acknowledged, you've said that you're gonna do better, and, like, honestly, the best way to apologize is changed behavior and changed mm-hmm. actions, right? So that would be, like, a cool thing to see for her to do. Mm-hmm. Imagine her dropping, like, a Bombay pattern hijab. That'd be kind of crazy, like, some rainbow pattern, but, like,
yeah, but still, it would have to be done very carefully and, like, with a lot of
consideration.
Exactly.
Yeah, but she could do, like, a community outreach and mm-hmm. like, reach out to, like, different ethnic groups and you know, that, I don't know. I think that'd be a cool idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it'd definitely be a cool idea. But I'm like saying, so it has to be done with a lot of care and thought.
If you're listening to this and you need ideas, mm-hmm. I promise I won't get you in trouble. But yeah. Like,
but that is one, just to go back to the whole, like, I think they're trying to cancel her now or something like that.
Yeah, they're saying, like, cancel Vella. We shouldn't be supporting it. They're, and, like, I guess the one positive out of all of this is that a lot of the smaller hijab brands are getting recognition now for their decent pricing and, like, just variety, you know. And you're free to shop wherever you want.
I just don't think that it should come at the cost of another Muslim brand, right?
Yeah, don't tear down another Muslim brand. You're right. And it's unfortunate that it's coming out in this way. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I guess do better is all I can really say at this point.
Yeah. And like, if you have an issue, like someone else said, if you have an issue with someone's pricing, just find another spot. Or that means that now you know that there's a gap in the market or an opening in the market for maybe you to do something and try and bring up the quality. And then maybe in the process of you trying to source your material and build a business, you'll start to understand why that person's pricings may be a certain way, right? I'm sorry, I know that tastes like shit.
It's high.
Yeah. She's drinking the iced coffee and just making faces, but
I was trying to like keep my composure. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's what's going on with Vella. Mm-hmm.
So a couple things. Of course, we always have TikTok news, right?
Yeah.
So the first one, if you've been, you know, on the TikTok fields and TikTok algorithms recently, you might have heard about the Christians have been having a little feud about something called the Rapture, where essentially there's a small group, or maybe even a bigger group. I don't know how big this group is, but they were basically saying that September 23rd or the 24th would be the Rapture.
Yep.
And there was literally people making content about them preparing for this Rapture. Yeah. And from what I understand from like Christian theology, because the reason I'm saying like this is a debate within their community, because like a lot of Christians don't even believe that this is a thing. Mm-hmm. Like being able to, first off, just the Rapture, the idea of the Rapture to begin with is like debated within the Christian community, but also the idea that it can be predicted.
Yeah.
Because similar to in Islam, in Christianity, it also says in their books, that in their gospels, I guess, that the day is unknown by anyone but God, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But there are people who try and like look at weird signs and say like, oh, I had a dream, or I spoke to God himself, astaghfirullah. So, and they said this day, or like they gave me a sign that it's going to be this date. And it's something we've seen multiple times, right?
But like who started this uproar?
It was like a Nigerian or South African pastor.
Oh yes, yes, yeah, yes.
On a podcast. First off, like even on the like format in which he announces, like that should already be sus. You should already be sus.
He said it on a podcast, and that's what caused all this.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, what did he say?
He said like I had a dream and I spoke to God and like I was told that it was gonna be on September 23rd or 24th. The reason they said or 24th is because of the time zones, right? And they're asking like, how sure are you? He's like, I am 1,000,000% sure this is gonna be on this day.
People were out here selling their cars, homes.
Yeah, so there's one famous dude, or not famous dude, the most notorious one is the dude who sold his car in preparation for this. But there are also people who are like making preparations, or like preparing food and other items for the people who would be left behind.
Yeah.
There's one who was like making a bunch of like flow charts and like graphs to explain what was happening and like telling them how they can deal with the aftermath and all that kind of stuff. And people were calling it like a religious psychosis. I feel like that's like the medical or clinical term for it.
I did see that.
This is something I mentioned. It happened multiple times. Like there's always someone every year who comes out saying this is going to be the day. But I think because of how TikTok has like grown recently, you're now seeing the people who are actually falling for it, and they're giving you like their day-to-day reaction, not reactions, but like their preparations, and you're just seeing it from their perspective, which is something kind of new.
Yeah, but it's what was interesting was seeing the other people that didn't believe in the rapture. Thank mm-hmm. God none of them were Muslim. Like, mm-hmm. as in, like, I feel like Muslims were so on edge about being called out and being villainized because we've been villainized for years and years and mm-hmm. years. But these were other Christians or just people that didn't believe in it. And there was this one girl, I don't know if you saw her video, but she bought a trumpet.
Oh, yeah, I saw that one. Yeah.
She bought a trumpet to try and trick her neighbors.
She's, like, trolling her neighbors, yeah.
Her neighbors, like, believed in it. Mm-hmm. And maybe it is a level of, like, religious psychosis. And, like, how does that even happen? I was looking into that, too. Mm-hmm. And sometimes if you're operating from a place of, like, constant fear, mm-hmm. You can reach a level of psychosis because you just have constant anxiety and, like, mm-hmm. oh, my God, I don't know how to act and how to, like, I don't even know what the rapture was until.
Really?
Like, I had to look it up because I'm like, what is this? Mm-hmm. Like, and what is going on?
I think they only believe, like, it's going to be, from what I've heard in the past, it's like only 144,000 people in the whole world will be, like, accepted in this rapture. So, yeah, it even goes deeper.
The people that were, like, laying their clothes out on the lawn to make it look like they've ascended.
What?
Yeah, you haven't seen that?
No.
It's honestly, like, mm-hmm. to each their own.
Yeah.
But all I'm saying is do your research. Don't just follow
on a podcast.
Yeah, like, that's a little bit.
It's like, what was his credentials, essentially, right?
Like, if you have been taught that the day is unpredictable, mm-hmm. essentially, I've realized that the rapture for Christians is like Yom al-Qiyamah for the Muslims. Mm-hmm. And, like, imagine if I know Muslims, okay? If some random guy who claimed to be a sheikh was on a podcast and he's like, I had a dream Yom al-Qiyamah is next Tuesday, everyone be like, who are you? Like, a'udhu billah, like, get out of here. Mm-hmm. And they wouldn't even pay him any mind. So it's like, it's kind of sad to see that.
But, like,
the people who believed in the rapture, mm-hmm. it's like, y'all just gonna believe anything? That means you gonna believe in that.
But the thing is, ironically enough, it does happen in the Muslim community. When it comes to, like, the coming of Imam Mahdi, like, that's something that does happen in a community where, like, Muslim community where there's someone, usually in the middle of, like, Pakistan or India, who claims to be the next Mahdi. And there are people who follow him.
Really?
Yes. This happens, like, every few years. There's someone who claims to be the Mahdi and people actually believe him and follow him. Oh, right? So it's something that, yeah, we're not completely safe. But I think that also should give you an idea of, like, because TikTok kind of, like, made it seem bigger than it really is, like, I don't think there's maybe, like, in total, like, let's say there's 100,000 people who actually believed in this. But when there's, if you look at the actual Christian community, like, they're, I think, second biggest to the Muslim community in the world. So there's still billions of people who most likely did not believe this. So this was a small community. And I feel like that community that did believe in it, it says more about them and their, like, mental state than it does about, like, the whole Christian community in general.
Because, yeah, that's true.
Like, you just listening to some of the people who were speaking about the rapture, you could tell, like, there's more going on than just this in their brains, right? Like, you could tell some of them were just, like, just depressed. And they're like, this is my way out. For real, right? Because for them, it's better to believe that, you know, it'll actually all end on this day than have to believe that there's going to be a day after that where they have to continue living in whatever life they currently have.
So what did they do on September 25th?
That's the unfortunate. So there's actually someone who, she's a TikToker who used to be part of a cult, mm-hmm. and she got out of that. And now she, like, covers content around other cults, or whenever something like this comes up, she gives her perspective on what they might be thinking. And she's like, yeah, just, you know, make sure to, for those that you know who believe in this, maybe, you know, be soft with them. You know, don't chastise them too much for what they believed in. Like, sure, they might have said some things to you that made you feel like you just write them off, but just know that they're going through something mentally here, and you have to kind of almost talk them off the edge, because some of them might go over the edge from how sure they were about this thing and the fact that it didn't happen. Some of them might be embarrassed.
Yeah,
some of them feel like, you know, what is there to live for after this anyway? So yeah, that's kind of, yeah,
treat a very, them like human way to approach it.
Exactly. Very, yeah, because at the end of the day, even if you go past the, like, religious part of it, it's just a lot of times it's about that human's experience, and, like, there's something else that's going on in their life, and this is their way of coping with it. So you have to kind of understand that and try and work with that. And
I get that.
Yeah, and just not make them feel worse, but, you know, bring them back and make them realize that there is more to live for.
Yeah.
Right? What?
That's just like, and that, when you talk about mm-hmm. it like that, it makes me realize, like, damn, people really are just going through things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And
this, they were looking for a way out all along.
Like, exactly.
Come here.
Mm-hmm.
Give me a hug. But I also realized through mm-hmm. this is that meme culture is still rampant.
Oh, yeah.
Like, nobody takes anything seriously anymore.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of scary.
I know I said, like, people should be soft on them, but there are a lot of people clowning on those people.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
There are, like, a lot of people, like, who looking at their watch, being like, just waiting for this certain creator to make a TikTok. They haven't made one yet. Oh, I wonder if they got raptured.
Like, it's just... And, like, some of the things, mm-hmm. people are just, they're so creative and, like, with their mm-hmm. jokes that I'm like, how does your brain work? How do you come up with mm-hmm. these things? It's so funny, but, like, wow. Yeah.
But it's like, you know how sometimes you just say one joke?
Mm.
Like, usually, you might not be the funny person most of the time, but yeah. you just, your brain puts something together
yeah.
and you say it out loud and everybody just dies laughing from it.
Yeah.
And that's, like, your one moment, and you just think about that for the rest of your life. You're like, that one moment in time, I was super funny, something clicked, I saw something differently, and it made everybody laugh.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that's how... why we see so many creative things on the internet, because that person at that moment just thought of something super creative. They yeah. did it, they put it out there, and that could be their only contribution.
Mm.
It's not like something they consistently push out. They just did it
yeah.
once.
Yeah.
It happened to pop off, and then after that, it's like everything else was a dud. But you just see the wins, right?
That's true.
So I feel like that's a lot of times what it is. Like, just, if you have a million people watching, there's going to be at least 1,000 minimum of those people who can think of something funny to say here, some way to meme this and get some clicks from it.
That's true. And I think they also feed off of each other, right?
Because yeah.
we are in such a unique position nowadays where we are so exposed to a large number of people that we would have never, ever had the experience of mm-hmm. meeting in real life.
Mm-hmm.
That when someone makes one joke, it's easy to, like, build on that. And you're just like, next thing you know, you're there scrolling, cackling at mm-hmm. freaking words and pictures online.
Yeah. Crazy. Yeah, it's almost like... When you're in, like, what's that group chat thing called again?
Clubhouse,
right? Yeah. So you could be quiet for like 30 minutes and then you have one point that you just say and then everybody's laughing at that and you don't contribute anything after yeah. that. But because you're like, yeah. I contributed, I'm good, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's the same thing, right?
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah. So multiple heads are good. I mean, what did they say? Not multiple heads.
Two heads are better than one?
Yeah, but I guess it is multiple heads are better than one.
Yeah, I guess.
In that situation.
There's no I in team.
Yeah. Teamwork.
Makes the dream work. Oh.
Oh, shoot my feet. Yeah, show me feet.
Not for feet.
I know. But hopefully, you know, this can open your eyes to the truth and bring you back to Islam.
After us,
there is no God except Allah. Okay, you never know, man. I'm just saying, you might see some of them turn to Islam and be like, yo, fool me once, fool me twice, can't be fooled again. I'm just saying,
look into it.
I'm done. Next on the docket, speaking of TikTok,
mm-hmm.
TikTok and I might not be.
So, remember what that time, we remember it as.
Yeah,
remember that time the US banned TikTok for like 48 hours, 24 mm-hmm. hours, and everyone was losing their mind. Well, the Americans were losing their minds. Well, looks mm-hmm. like they finally came to a solution. And the company called Oracle, which is it not a telecommunication company. I can't remember.
They do like cybersecurity, I think.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They actually bought out TikTok.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here you're wondering, like, what does it have to do with us? Yeah. So the Oracle CEO is pretty rampant Zionist.
Mm-hmm.
So you can only imagine what that means for the U.S. TikTok.
Yeah. If you've been seeing like very few posts around Palestine, just get used to seeing us.
Censorship, as we like to call it.
Yeah. Like, I didn't realize how bad censorship was because until I started hearing a lot of creators, there's a specific creator, I can't remember his name now, but he would literally call out the fact that he was about to get banned. Like, he would be like, I know this video is going to get me banned. I'm still going to put it out. And then he would post a video later, be like, told you guys that video got banned. His account would get banned. He would, and the stuff he's talking about is like super, he's not it's not like he's saying anything extreme, right?
Yeah.
He just knows that someone is watching his account and they're constantly just going to keep trying to ban his account from there.
Well, I've realized now that with the unaliving of Charlie Kirk, especially in the U.S., I know it's your First Amendment, but you really, y'all don't have freedom of speech. Mm-mm. Like, in theory, technically, yeah, you could say whatever you want. But if it is seen as a threat to the
empire,
the national security of the United States of America, yeah, you ain't free. You can't say what you want to say. And the way that they spin it is, if you say, I hate Charlie Kirk for what he believes in, the U.S. government could spin that as, oh, this person is super against what he believes in, which is like super American and traditional, and therefore you're a threat to the national security. Yep, you don't have freedom of speech. Your content is banned because we don't want to further perpetuate this type of ideology into the social media space.
Yeah. Unfortunately, now that is the reality, is that like before you would get just banned. That's like the most that could happen. But now there could be like real life consequences. Like you could literally go to jail for some of these things, or be indefinitely held in some like ICE detention center.
Crazy.
For the things that you post online. So going back, I think last week what I mentioned with like the left having cancel culture and the right's level of cancel culture is like taken to the 10th degree, where when you have real life consequences where people are actually, where the government is getting involved,
it's
a little scary.
It is scary.
And with Oracle now taking over, they're saying, I'm not sure if this was an official statement yet, but they were basically saying that, like, because, okay, they were going to sell TikTok, right? But there's a difference between TikTok and the algorithm, because the algorithm is almost like it's their own property. It's ByteDance's property. They can give them the app. The app means nothing if you don't have the algorithm, right? So they're basically saying they're trying to work out a deal with the algorithm where, like, America essentially America would have its own algorithm that's different, and it would be almost like a different app in itself.
That's gonna ruin.
Sorry, what? This is a fly in
I
here.
Know. Do you see that? It was like flying into my straw.
Yeah. Where'd it go?
I don't know. Get away. That's my iced coffee. Okay.
But yeah, so there's talks about having a different algorithm purely for America. And at that point, I think like the only solution at that point is to build some other app or start to use another app. But I feel like people are so entrenched in this one that the likelihood of that is super low. So people would just have to be very creative on how they get around these new censorship guidelines.
Well, whatever happened to that Red app that everyone jumped on for like 3 seconds?
Oh, yeah. The Chinese one, right?
Yeah.
Red Note?
Was it Red Note?
I think so.
Okay.
I can't say for sure.
I think it is Red Note.
Yeah, it was that.
It sounds familiar.
But so that one, it only became big because they thought it was going away. But the moment they realized it wasn't, people were trying to say, oh, no, don't worry about it. We don't even need it anymore. TikTok, right?
Yeah,
But people slowly started gravitating back towards it, the TikTok. So that kind of got left in the dust, even though it's still used in China by a lot of people, right?
Yeah.
But it's going to be interesting seeing, because I feel like the deal is going to take a while to go through.
Yeah.
But
like, you mean before we actually start seeing the changes in the algorithm?
Yeah, exactly. Even though there have been already a lot of changes, because they're trying to like essentially still be in the good graces of the government over there.
Right.
But I'm hoping that by the time they do get full control, the situation we're kind of most interested in currently, which is what's going on in Palestine, is not resolved to the point where we don't need the algorithms to be able to make our voice known, right? And we started seeing that recently. We'll get to a story about that. But if that's not the case, then we're just going to have to get a lot more creative. I feel like the internet, the one thing that the internet is very good at, as you talk about with the memes and stuff, is that they're creativity. Really creative at getting around censorship.
Yeah.
Like even when it comes to us talking on the podcast, like people have to use different words when it comes to the things that would normally get flagged when you're saying them, right? And we've kind of worked that out. So maybe their algorithm would get smarter, but I feel like the people are always going to be like one step ahead. Right. Or at least if they do make it smarter, we're kind of get figured out quickly and then work around it. Yeah. That seems to always be the case, at least on the internet.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah. So the other thing that I was kind of hinting to was that now there's the biggest move that's happened in the last week mm-hmm. is that more countries, they had the UN council in New York, and now more countries are recognizing like an official state of Palestine. Mm-hmm. So Canada, the first post I saw was Canada. I was like, oh, that's a big move for Canada
yeah.
to officially recognize Palestine as a state. But I didn't know until later that it was actually 194 other countries
yeah.
that officially made it a thing. And honestly, when I first heard that, I didn't know exactly what that meant.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how does that change things? I thought it might be in that, like, now people who usually couldn't put Palestine on their passport or on their identification, now they can add that as an option. I think that might be a change that's happening. But it's definitely a way of them diplomatically putting pressure on Is Not Real to, like, you know, make some real change, or, like, you know, get out, or at least we're gonna step in.
Yes, in a sense. And I also think that the fact that, like, Canada, the UK, mm-hmm. Australia, I can't remember what the other countries were, but, like, those are pretty big countries,
mm-hmm.
like, relatively powerful in their own right. Mm-hmm. Also, all three are Commonwealth. But I think that by them publicly saying that they recognize Palestine as a state, it's also a huge, not FU, but, like, to the United States, like, we don't stand with you. We don't mm-hmm. support this, like, idea that Is Not Real has ownership over everything, because they don't.
Also, like, they have no repercussions for any of their actions. Like, no matter how far they go, the fact that even if they tell them to stop doing something and they continue doing it and they don't get repercussions for it, like, that cannot be normalized.
Yeah, and, like, I'm sure you've seen the videos in the last, like day
mm-hmm.
of the UN conference that was happening.
Oh, yeah.
And how everyone walked out when Benjamin was standing on the podium yeah. to speak. And majority of the room, they all got up and left.
Yeah.
And I was reading the comments, and some people were saying, like, shouldn't he have been arrested? But apparently when he was flying there, I can't remember which city it was in.
New York.
He avoided certain airspaces.
He avoided any of the, like, European airspace.
Is that because they could have arrested him had he flown over?
Technically, yeah. Like, let's say something happened to his plane and he had to land.
Yeah.
He would have had to. He might have had. There's a chance that he would have been arrested.
Got it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, I just don't understand how that part works. Like, if someone is very clearly, like, the warrant is out for his arrest, mm-hmm. essentially. Why is this man able to, like, just walk around freely? I guess because there's no jurisdiction when he's in certain areas.
Yeah,
like,
it's up to the governments, right? Mm. Yeah. Because a lot of times it comes down to, like, diplomacy
yep.
and how things look, the optics of a situation.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right? So it's kind of annoying that, like, even though they know what he's doing is right,
wrong.
Like, what he's doing is wrong, he's still able to. Like, sure, they recognize Palestine as a state, but a lot of times it feels like a slap on the wrist than a real, like, action towards them. That's why I'm hoping that this is, like, the first of many steps.
I hope so. Mm-hmm. And I actually want to, like, build on this point specifically, mm-hmm. which was the second point I put there.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if you saw that video of Jennifer Lawrence. She's an actress mm-hmm. who... maybe not everyone knows this, but one of her really close friends is Amy Schumer, who is known to support Is Not Real.
Yeah, like raging.
Yeah, like Zionist. Raging Zionist.
Mm-hmm.
Jennifer Lawrence, who has remained silent since 2023 regarding everything that's been happening in Palestine, now
mm-hmm.
in an interview for, I think she was doing, like, press for a movie or mm-hmm. something, recognized what was going on in Palestine as a genocide.
Mm-hmm.
And so some people were like, oh, my God, finally, finally. But then on the other majority of people were saying, that's really interesting that now all of a sudden you're recognizing it as a genocide, when one of your most famously known roles that you've played, Katniss Everdeen, was mm-hmm. the type of person that was fighting against oppression.
Mm-hmm.
How could you not have recognized that all along?
Yeah.
And
I think she did. It's like, it goes back to the fact that they're all just scared. They don't want to lose any opportunities, right?
Yeah.
And I feel like the reason she actually came out about it is because of what recently happened at TIFF,
mm-hmm.
where there was like a, I don't know if it was exactly about Palestine, but there was a movie.
The movie about Hind.
About Hind, yes, exactly. And there are a lot of, you know, big name celebrities that were there and were supporting it.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was also like a big event that happened, like the O2 Arena in the UK, where a lot of big celebrities came out.
Mm-hmm.
And these are celebrities who are like, you know, like a Benedict Cumberbatch.
Yeah.
And
Mark Ruffalo is another big one.
Mark Ruffalo's always been on
that. That's true.
Yeah, he's always been on that pro-Palestine. He's been
guide him to Islam.
Exactly. Inshallah. But him and like Florence Pugh. These are people who are not only in like big movies, but like they're involved with companies who are on boycott lists, right?
Mm.
And they do have, there's a chance that they could like lose work from it. There's always that chance, but like, so a lot of these actors are in Marvel movies, and Marvel is owned by Disney, and Disney has clearly been on one side there. But with this shift recently, I think the narrative is going to start shifting as well. Unfortunately, it took like 2 years.
Yeah. And even then, I feel like simply saying, I acknowledge that this was a genocide, like, that's the bare minimum.
Yeah.
That's literally the bare minimum. And while I was like watching this video of Jennifer Lawrence speaking, some of the comments were saying, like, why do we hold celebrities to such a high pedestal and high responsibility when we don't even call out world leaders? And I was like, that's an interesting question.
Because celebrities are influencers. They're the biggest influencers, right?
You don't think a world leader is an influencer?
No. People don't care about... Like, a lot of people, first off, are just, like, off on politics. Like, they just don't care.
Yeah.
They don't even know... Half these people don't even know who their current prime minister or president or...
Crazy, but
like,
it's true.
Local governor is, right?
Yep.
But they do know who Jennifer Lawrence is, or they do know who Mark Ruffalo or, like, Benedict Cumberbatch, all these people I mentioned. They know who those people are. And they're more likely to listen to what they have to say than their local politician, who's known to lie to them, right?
That's a fair point.
So you're
right.
It always comes down to your influence as an individual, and like politics, they have influence on how your life will turn, not life will turn out, but how your life is affected.
Yeah, your quality of life.
Your quality of life, which is unfortunate that we don't kind of like pay attention to them more, as in the sense that like keep them at a higher standard or try and make sure they're following through. But celebrities have a huge say.
Yeah,
it's always that celebrity culture, right? It's just the culture of the world.
Yeah,
it's something that's universal, so people would definitely be more willing to listen to what their favorite celebrity says and their local politician, right?
I'm still surprised that someone like Taylor Swift has gotten away with not ever commenting on it. And I know before her stance was like, oh, I'm never going to speak about religion or politics. But
it's her audience.
No, but even in her documentary, like, she spoke about her distaste for Donald Trump. Maybe I shouldn't have said his name. It's fine. I'll cut it out. But you know what I mean? Like, she's gone this far, and she's probably one of the biggest, if not the biggest celebrity in the world right now. You don't think so?
I think she's big in America. I don't think Taylor Swift is big in the world.
No, I think she is.
Has she ever done a world tour?
Yeah.
And was it popular around the world?
Yes.
Really?
She's very, very, very popular, very powerful. Like, she's up there, and the fact that she has gotten away with not saying anything at all is kind of crazy to me.
Maybe it requires, you know, like BDS list is a thing. Maybe they have to make a, what is it? Boycott, divest, and...
like boycott celebrities?
No, BDS stands for boycott, divest, and what?
Boycott, divestment, and sanctions.
Yeah, exactly. So they need to make one for celebrities. And maybe we'll start seeing some more sentiment change because of how much power they have, more than people even realize a lot of times.
Yeah.
Right? Like, look at, going back to the Rapture thing, like, that person is almost unknown, but look how much of an influence he had on people literally changing their lives, the way they live,
yeah,
because they believe this one dude, right?
Right.
And people worship celebrities like they're prophets in themselves, right?
Yeah.
Or some deities or whatever. Mm. But because of that, it makes you realize that what they say really is taken almost as gospel by a lot of people. And there's that whole conversation or that whole argument about like whether you're responsible for your audience.
Mm.
And I think we're answering that question that you are responsible for your audience, right?
Yeah.
And what you say to your audience, what you support and what you don't support.
Yeah, that's what
also
makes
does affect
up
your audience.
That's what makes up part of your celebrity. Mm-hmm. Is on one hand, it's whatever you're famous for. So if you're a singer, it's mm-hmm. because of your songs and your voice and whatever, your songwriting. And it's not just that. Like, there's also what you stand for, what causes mm-hmm. you support, those types of things. It's your relatability to your audience. That's what gets people to be attracted to you and like mm-hmm. want to be your supporter. But you can't just only bank on people to like just support your music and essentially fund your life by supporting you and buying your stuff and
yeah.
you know, sharing your content without talking about like real world issues.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to be multifaceted. You can't just be in one lane. And yeah, there might be people that are like, well, I only like their music, but I don't support them as a person. There are people who do mm-hmm. that too. But I'm thinking of like the grand scheme of things. A lot of times people will support a celebrity because they're like, oh, this person stands for XYZ cause. And I really respect that about them. I relate to that because I support it. And then that's how you become a fan of them and the fan mm-hmm. of their work.
Yeah. The only reason I could see maybe a celebrity that big
mm.
not feeling like that or feeling hesitant to say anything is because a lot of the whataboutism that goes on. So like once they start speaking out about one thing, now they feel like at least other people will start to put pressure on them to speak about everything. It's mm-hmm. like, why did you speak about this one thing mm-hmm. at this one time? But now this thing's going on, you're not speaking about that. And they feel like it's like almost a perpetual thing. Like they have to keep speaking out about it. But I feel like at this point, this specific thing,
mm-hmm.
because of how like egregious it is and how the government that you were currently helping with like your taxes and bringing money to its economy,
yeah,
the way that that money that you're bringing to the economy is now being used in that case, like that's the biggest reason that I right. say that this really does make or really is something that everyone should be involved with, because our money is going towards
yes.
perpetuating this, right?
Yeah,
thankfully Canada has stopped doing that,
right?
But in America specifically, and she's biggest artist in America,
yeah,
is still funding that,
exactly,
right? So if your country is funding that, your money is literally going towards it, then you have almost, it's almost like an obligation for you to speak out on it. If your money wasn't involved in it, then I might give you a bly. But at this point, you're bringing a lot of money to this economy, you're paying towards this, so you should be saying something about it if you feel like you don't want that to be happening.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I wholeheartedly agree.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to, like, I was thinking about this throughout the week, because I know that on this podcast, like, Amir and I are not shy about speaking up for what we believe is right,
mm-hmm.
And really highlighting certain world issues that maybe they don't get as much coverage online.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, we speak about Palestine quite a bit. As you know, our outro has been Free Palestine for the last 2 years.
Yeah.
It ain't gonna change until it's free.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've spoken about Sudan before. Mm-hmm. They're still going through a really difficult time. I'm pretty sure they're going through a famine as well.
Yeah.
And it's impacting a lot of people. Mm-hmm. Same thing with Congo. Same thing with Yemen. Same thing with, I'm pretty sure Libya is also. And there's mm-hmm. so many people that are suffering around the world that it can feel almost like overwhelming when you think about it mm-hmm. as a whole, because you're just like, I don't even know which one to focus on. Like, I want to read more about this and this and this. And we try our best to cover everything, and I know sometimes people might look at it as like, why do you only talk about Palestine but not this, and why do you mm-hmm. only focus on that? It's because when you speak about Palestine, people get canceled, they lose their jobs, mm-hmm. they are silenced. The other issues that are going on, of course, they're just as important, if not more. Like, everything has its own lane, but we try to highlight or bring the light to things that are often like shoved under the rug, if that mm-hmm. makes sense.
Yeah. Purposefully, you know? And like
yeah.
intentionally, because we could speak all about what's going on in Sudan, and we have spoken about it before, but it's technically safe. Like we won't lose our jobs for speaking about it, right? Our governments are not putting money towards allowing it to continue going on.
I mean, there are governments that are being silent about what's happening to them mm-hmm. for sure, and we don't agree with that. And
yeah,
sometimes it's hard because you feel almost like powerless mm-hmm. and you feel this like level of disparity. But I know Amir, you actually do this a lot, which is good, mm-hmm. and you have such a positive mindset. And it's like, have a good opinion of your Lord that all of this can be resolved with a snap, with the help of Allah. And mm-hmm. at the end of the day, the oppressors will get the justice that they deserve, and mm-hmm. the oppressed will get the justice that they deserve. Mm-hmm. So I think there's a little bit of comfort in knowing that this world is temporary anyways, mm-hmm. and we're here while we're here, and we try to do as best as we can while we're here. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, it's the akhirah, it's the afterlife that's more important, mm-hmm. and everyone will get their justice and what mm-hmm. they deserve at the end of the day. So
yeah. And before we end the podcast there, I'm going to first shout out the people who put in the special emoji, which this week was a koala.
It was a sloth. Sorry,
a sloth. A sloth. Okay. So shout out to Aisha Abdi. Shout out to Andalib Anwar. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Shout out to 004 Peach Tea and Amina Y and Akida Hassan. Mm-hmm. Akida yeah. Hassan. But yeah, shout out to you guys for listening to all the way to the end of the podcast. And for this week's emoji, what should we say this week's emoji is?
You pick one this time.
I should pick one? Mm-hmm. Okay, let's see. So if you made it this far for this week's emoji, let's see what I should put in here. Okay, so let's do a squid.
Okay.
Squid. Okay, so for this week's emoji, put in the comments a squid with your question. You can do either just a squid or with a question. We'll answer that if you put it in there. Mm-hmm. But yeah, shout out to all you guys for listening all the way to the end. I know we kind of ramble a lot here, but you know, it takes a lot to make it to the end. So I'm proud of you guys. Okay, so just for this week's, quickly, I'm going to get to Amina Y's comment where she said, I'm from a city called Bristol in the UK, and maybe I'm delusional, but those hate marches aren't stopping me from anything. And one thing I've heard about Bristol, and for some reason I feel like Bristol is like the more, like, it's almost like the Scarborough of London.
Is it?
I'm not sure. It just sounds Bristol. You know, Bristol. it sounds tough, Bristol. You know?
Maybe.
Turns out to be like the most posh part of London.
It could be. Let us know if you're from London, if you're from UK.
What if it's not Bristol even London? Like? Let me check this out.
Bristol, UK. It's not,
it's
Bristol,
not
London.
Even in London, mate.
Yeah, London's a city.
I thought Bristol was like a hood in London or something. Damn, right. It's far from London.
Yeah, you gotta take the train.
I'm sorry. I don't know my geography in the UK, okay? It's a bit of ways away, but shout out to all the people from Bristol. If you liked what we did today, you know, if you want to hear a little bit more of it, you know what to do. Hit that subscribe button. Hit the like button. Maybe do the bell thing. I think that helps too. And if there's anything that we talked about today that you like, leave a comment down below. Ask a question. Even if it's not related to what we talked about today and you have a question, you can put it in the comments there. We'll reply to it in a future episode. Other than that, you can also follow us on Cousin Connection Pod at TikTok and Instagram. And we'll see y'all next week.
Bye.